guards were set on both sides, and the Resh Galusa employed the offices of the Sultan, of the Caliph of Baghdad, to have Rabbeinu Saadia forcibly removed from the Beis Medrash of the yeshiva. And we look at Rabbeinu Saadia back 1,100 years ago, 1,150 years, so he is encased in an aura of holiness and tranquility. And we think that about all the great rabbis, that they all had very easy lives. You know, nobody ever, like Rashi, nobody ever said a criticism of Rashi. Nobody ever said anything bad about him. Now, who could say nothing bad about the Rambam? But if you look at the historic records of the lives that they lived and the people, you'll see that there is no such thing as a tranquil life, especially for someone who finds himself in public service. And no one is above criticism, and no one is above nastiness and all the other things that come with it. And that none of these things have been invented in our time. We are unfortunately heir to it. So they just picked up Rabbeinu Saadia and they threw him out. And they, in effect, he was fired from the job. But Rabbeinu Saadia retaliated by putting the Resh Galusa in Cheirim, which is no small feat. He placed the ban of anathema against the head of the Jewish community, and he fought a tenacious guerrilla warfare type of struggle against David Ben Zakkai. And this struggle between them went on for almost a dozen years. It paralyzed the Jewish community in Bovel. In retrospect, you know, with 100% historic hindsight, we can say that it's the beginning of the end of the Babylonian Jewish community. Because after Rabbeinu Saadia, who was the greatest gaon and achieved the highest level, it starts to decline. And when it starts to decline, as always, it's imperceptible at first. Anyone living then would have said, well, where else are the Jews going to go? But already the fulcrum of history is shifting. And the next chapter of the Jews in North Africa is already being prepared. And within 150 years from the time Rabbeinu Saadia, Bovel will no longer be the center of Jewish life. And this undoubtedly contributed to it. You don't go through such a struggle for such a long period of time with such bitterness, with such great people, without it leaving an indelible mark, a scar on the body of the Jewish people. And it did. They finally patched it up. I mean, that's the only word. They patched it up out of self-interest because the Jewish community was falling apart. And Rabbeinu Saadia was restored to being the gaon in Sura. But he died 2 years later. And he died of the effects of the machlokas. Most of the books of the time say that. That it just sapped him. And that internal machlokas as to the rights of the gaon, etc., really began the decline of the gaonate itself, even though, it, as I mentioned, it would continue for over another 100 years. The third great machlokas it in, and this machlokas again, he demolished his opponents, was the machlokas against the Karoyim, against the Karaites. Rabbeinu Saadia is the one that put the Karaites away. Again, by his power of polemic, by his ability to write, by his oratorical skills, by his tenacity. And what he did is that under his influence, thousands of Jews who had wavered and became Karoyim now retreated back into traditional Judaism. And it's interesting to note that on one hand he was a fierce fighter, on the other hand he was tremendously tolerant, because he said any Karoy that came back, you just take him back and forget that it ever happened.